I'm old school, and I'm traditional, and I understand in this day and age that you sometimes have to work with your tradition to mix it to catch that vibe that our young people have, but I'm still old school, and I'm still traditional, and I still believe in protocol. So I just need everyone for 30 seconds to stand on your feet and put your hands together for our leader, our president and first lady of this university, Dr. Norman and Allison Hall. Amen. And while you're standing, we're gonna get right into this. So if you have your Bibles, whether you have a printed copy or you look at it on your phone, if Natalie don't mind, I would like to give everybody permission to look at their Bible app on their phone, and you can put it away afterwards. Or if I get too boring, you can just do whatever you need to do. We're going to ask you to turn to the Old Testament book, and I promise you we did not set this up. It is just a coincidence. But turn to the Old Testament book of Jonah. The Old Testament book of Jonah. And I promise you, the second chapter, the Old Testament book of Jonah, the second chapter. And just like a Kardashian marriage, I won't be long, I promise you. Jonah, the second chapter, I want to start reading at that 10th verse and hear what God has to say. And the Lord commanded the fish, and the fish vomited, or some of your versions might say, and the fish threw up Jonah onto dry land. That's enough. You may be seated. And the Lord commanded the fish, and the fish threw up Jonah onto dry land. I would like to take a moment as a spiritual leading guide to preach from the subject, God's journey for you. God's journey for you. Growing up in the 80s and the 90s, and I know I'm telling my age, but growing up in the 80s and 90s, we didn't have an awesome and amazing director of athletic operations like you guys do. That would allow us to get up shots anytime we wanted to in the gym. As a matter of fact, we weren't even allowed inside the gym when I was growing up and playing basketball. So we would all come together on the outdoor courts in the community. We played on asphalt, concrete, double rims, chain nets. Everybody out there was playing 5-on-5, 3-on-3, and when you would get there, there would be one question that everyone would ask. I'm going to see where my basketball players are this morning. You didn't ask what the score was. You didn't even ask who was winning. The one question that was asked when you stepped onto the court was, who's got next? Come on, I know I got some basketball players here. You wanted to know who's got next for one or two reasons, because if someone said that they had next, you wanted to get onto their team. Or if no one said that they had next, you wanted to make sure that you had next. Being next was something that you looked forward to. Being next was something that excited you. Unfortunately, being next is something that you don't hear when it relates to your calling and your journey. I promise you, I'm going somewhere with this. While you hear it on the court when you're playing basketball, hardly do you hear anyone shout, I got next, when it comes to God taking you somewhere. Almost everyone in the Bible has answered God's call for their journey by saying, I got next. but I don't want to go. I don't want to go can be defined in so many ways. Some folks say, I don't want to go because they are afraid or because they have fear, because they feel that they have some type of gift deficiency. Because of that, you have allowed the devil to define your destiny by your deficiency. Or maybe they've allowed themselves to be labeled by other people, not realizing that the only reason why people want to label you is because they want to limit you. Lord, y'all making it hard for me today. Let me say it again. The only reason why people want to label you is because they want to limit you. Some people say that they don't want to go because they are crippled by comparison and they don't think that they measure up. Now, I must tell you this morning that I don't want to go isn't not necessarily a bad place to start. It's just the wrong place to stay. Jonah in the Bible, not Jonah who introduced me, but Jonah in the Bible, who he learns this very early. Everyone knows the story of Jonah. If you took the Old Testament class at Simpson, you've heard about the story of Jonah. God wants Jonah to take a journey that Jonah does not want to go on. God tells Jonah, I'm fine where my Bible scholar's at, God tells Jonah to go down to Nineveh. And we learn when we read the story of Jonah that Jonah had no desire to go on this journey. So Jonah decides to go in the opposite direction that God tells him. He goes to the opposite city that God tells him to go. Please don't miss it. Don't miss it like Jonah did. Watch this. Here it is. You don't get to pick your journey. The reality is that purpose and journey will never be in two different places. I wish I had some help here. And our job isn't to pick where we're supposed to go, but our job is to discover it and submit to it. And I know some of y'all don't like what I'm saying right now because you don't get to pick your journey. And also, oftentimes, you have to realize that just because you're good at something don't always mean that you're assigned to it. That's a tough one, because we think that because we're good at everything that we're supposed to be in charge of everything, we're supposed to be a part of everything, we're supposed to be included in everything. But sometimes God has placed you in certain situations and on certain journeys because he knows what you can handle. But Coach Jerry, I discovered that you don't get to pick your journey, but you do get picked, Natalie, for a journey. As a matter of fact, you get picked, Trey, on purpose. Because most of the time, people have already decided that you don't deserve to be where you are, and God is going to use you to show them that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Do I have anybody in here today that can testify and wave your hands and say, I haven't always been qualified for where God is trying to take me, but thanks be to God, he picked me anyway. Turn to the person next to you and say, I got picked on purpose. I don't like how that person looked at you. Turn to the person on the other side of you and say, I got picked on purpose. Yeah. You had a pass. You don't have the pedigree. You don't have the degree. But I see some potential. And if you have potential, then you have purpose. And if you have purpose, here at Simpson University, we have a president, coaches, faculty, and staff that are just foolish enough to believe that if God can look at your past and show us your potential, God will ordain your purpose and prepare a place for you here. Is there anybody here this morning that is glad that God picked you? Is there anybody here this morning that's glad that God picked you? And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I wish I could get about 15 ride or die people to stand on your feet, wave your hands and say, I didn't pick my journey, but I got picked for a journey, and I got picked on purpose. It's very interesting to me that we know nothing about Jonah. When you study your Bible, and I see Dr. Queck over there, so I got to be careful. When you study the Old Testament, whenever a prophet was introduced to us in the Bible, we normally also get their Ancestry.com report. It would let us know something about who they were or where they came from, who they were related to. It lets you know something about the stock that they come from. We are given background, we are given no background information on Jonah whatsoever. Now, Dr. Pat, I've come to realize that the reason why this may be is that sometimes, whew, Lord have mercy, God does this because God doesn't do background checks. He doesn't know, he doesn't have to know where you come from to consider you to what you need to be. Lord have mercy, you're missing it. God doesn't do background checks because sometimes God can look past your past, look past your faults, look past your failures, and turn them into your future. Every now and then, God can look beyond your faults and see your needs. The Bible says that Jonah, that the ship ends up in a storm. And Jonah is in the bottom of the ship, sleep. The ship is in a storm. Waves are crashing against the ship. The ship is rocking back and forth. And Jonah is in the bottom of the ship, sleep. Watch this. Interestingly, the crew on the ship starts to throw stuff off the ship, but the storm doesn't stop. So they continue and they keep throwing stuff off the ship, but the ship, the storm does not let up. It is then, watch this, please notice what I'm saying. It is then that the crew decides and realizes that Jonah is the reason for the storm. Five of y'all got it. The rest of y'all still need your Dutch bros. The crew realizes that Jonah is the reason for the storm. Here it is. One person's disobedience is affecting everyone's journey. Come here. Because you have let somebody on your journey who is not in the will of God, and now your journey is in trouble. Because one person that they let on the ship, and I don't want to get in your business today, but I'll get all up in your Kool-Aid and find out the flavor. But I'm just wondering, and I got to ask the question, take 5 seconds and find out and ask yourself who's on your ship. When you think about it, you might think about there's some people and some things that you might need to get off of your ship. Who's on your ship that's causing a storm on your journey? Who's on your ship that's causing chaos in your life? Who's on your ship that's causing you and preventing you from doing and being what God has called you to be? The problem might be that you're trying to get rid of some stuff. Watch this, and you should be getting rid of them. Can I give you 3 points? Sorry, Dr. Hall, like a good Baptist preacher, I got to give 3 points when we get out of here. Note takers, get your pens, your pads. Let's go. Point number one. In order to make it on the journey that God is trying to take you on, you have to pass the test of time. You can go back and read it for yourself. I promise you, I'm not making it up. But watch this. Chapter 3 starts off with one word. Now. Chapter 2 starts with one word. Then. Chapter 3 starts off with one word. Now. Chapter 2 starts off with one word. Then. The then chapter is when Jonah was facing the consequences of his choices. The now chapter is when God was giving Jonah grace for his mistakes. Lord have mercy. The then chapter was when his life was in a mess. The now chapter is when God took his mess and made a miracle. You have to know the difference of the chapters of the life that you're in. And whatever you do while you're on your journey, please do not let your now, don't get to your now moment with a thin attitude. So many times in our lives, God is trying to take us on a journey, and he's trying to take us to our purpose and our destiny. And a lot of times, he is trying to take us to our now, and we're so caught up on our then, we cannot get to where God is trying to take us. So I stopped by this morning to tell someone that if you're going to get where God wants to take you, you're going to have to step out of your then and walk into your now. You don't believe me? You were on academic probation, but now. Huh? You were sitting on the bench on your team, but now. Lucas emailed you about that payment that was due, but now. Every now and then, you have to allow God to move in on your journey and allow him to take you from your then to your now. So point one is you have to pass the test of time. The second point, in order to make it on the journey that God is trying to take you on, is that sometimes things have to go wrong to go right. It ain't hard. It's very simple. Sometimes things have to go wrong to go right. And I know that could be a very hard pill to swallow, because we think that when we come to God and we give our life to Christ that we're supposed to be skipping through the daisies every day, and every day's supposed to be great. But sometimes things have to go wrong to go right. Allison, I've discovered in my 48 years of living, Lord have mercy, that sometimes God will use our stupidity to further our call in our journey. Here's what I've learned. That our moment of being mature was also the moment that God was moving us. Because if you had not gone through your time of correction on your journey, then you take the chance of jeopardizing the purpose of your journey. It was the maturing moment of God that made you decide you didn't want to stay where you were and that you wanted to go to bigger and better. I wish I had some help here. Is there anybody here that said that they woke up one morning and they realized that they didn't like what they were seeing, they didn't like what they was hearing, they didn't like what they looked like, they didn't look like how they were feeling, and they cried out to God, and God said, if you allow me to just take over and order your steps, I can take you to higher heights and deeper depths. Is there anybody here that can testify that you ain't always done everything right? You haven't dotted every I and crossed every T, but every now and then you realize that God has made a way. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they told me that they had got a new car. When they told me what type of car it was, just strictly for political purposes, I told them that they really shouldn't be driving it. It was a Tesla. But they were explaining to me about the car, and I found it very interesting. They said that they were driving the car down the road, and all of a sudden, the car forced them to move into the other lane. And they thought it was very interesting. I said, well, you know, that the way that cars are now, I can see them doing that. Because they was trying to get you, the car that was in front of you, they was trying to get you from around the car that was in front of you. No, Curly. There was nothing in front of me. But what they later told me was, in the story, was that about 15 yards down the road, there was some debris in the road. And the car moved them to the other lane to avoid them hitting the debris that was in the road further down that they couldn't see. Come here, you didn't get it. Every now and then, when you're on this journey that God is taking you on, you think you're doing it the way that you want to do it. And every now and then, God shifts you into another lane because God can see way further than you can see with your own eyes. You would have ran into that bad relationship. You would have ran into that bad partnership. You would have ran into that bad boy or girl. But God saw it way down in the future. Well, I'm done. Oh, I only gave you two. There's one more. So in order to make it on the journey that God is trying to take you on, you have to pass the test of time. Sometimes things have to go wrong to go right. And I got to be careful because this one right here almost made me shout when I was writing it. But the third point, and here we're out of here. Sometimes on your journey, God will use your problem to propel you to your purpose. Lord have mercy. Let me say it again. Sometimes on your journey, God will use your problem to propel you to your purpose. It's right there in the Bible. I promise you I'm not making it up. It says it right there. In chapter 3, Jonah finds himself in the belly of a fish for not going where God wanted him to be. The Bible says that the fish vomits and throws him out, up in the direction of where God wanting him to go. Lord have mercy. You missed it. He's in his problem. He's in his problematic situation. And the situation in him gets sick of him and spits him out into the direction that God originally wanted to go. I'm done, y'all. Is there anybody here that wants God to take you on a journey, but you know that you got to get rid of some things? You know you got to get rid of some people, but thanks be to God that I am reminded of another one who had to take a journey, that on one Friday evening on a hill called Calvary, Jesus took a journey up to the cross of Calvary. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. They pierced him in his side. He hung his head and died. They buried him in the burial tomb. He stayed there all evening Friday, all morning Saturday, all night Saturday night. But the Bible says that early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. He got up with power for you to pass your tests. He got up with power for you to be in the right relationship. He got in power so that you could go on the journey that he has called and purposed you to go on. Is there anybody here that can put your hands together? Because you know that God sent his son on a journey to die so that you could go on a journey and do what he's called you to do. Let us stand. Please let us stand. They tell me I got about 2 minutes. Maybe there's someone here and you haven't started your journey with Christ yet. You haven't started your journey with Jesus yet. Here's the crazy thing. He already has your journey mapped out. All you have to do is accept to go on the journey with him. You have to make the conscious effort and decision to step out. Don't be like Jonah. Don't go in the opposite direction. Can you realize how much time in Jonah's purpose and destiny that he missed out on because he went in the opposite direction? How many hours? We don't even know how many days that he missed out on doing what God had called him to do because he went in the opposite direction that God has called him to do. If there's someone, we're not gonna make it a show, but this is what I want you to do. I want everybody to close their eyes. Everybody close their eyes. And if you are ready to make a conscious decision today to start your journey with Christ, I just want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Nobody is watching you. Nobody's paying attention. All eyes are closed. This is a sacred moment. I see you. I see you. Is there someone else? I see you. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. We're going to pray right now for you. We're going to pray right now for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, keep your hand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see the hands. Not only do you see the hands, but you see the heart. You see the heart of the people who had their hands up and said they want to start this journey with you. God, I ask right now that you touch them from the top of their heads to the sole of their feet. Strengthen their heart, God, because you know now that the enemy is really going to come after them. Now that they've made a decision to live for you, they're going to really come after you. So now, God, I ask that you walk with them, talk with them, and take them, God, on this journey. We know it's not going to be easy. You never said that the road would be easy, but you said that you never brought us this far to leave us. We thank God for you. Come on, put your hands together. Put your hands together.